This is...
It's my show.
But not my show.
Welcome to the greatest show ever in history. Yeah, I'm actually that confident to say, you know, this is the greatest show ever in history.
Hello, I'm the Bluesman and I'm grateful that you've tuned into the show, and I hope you have a blessed session with us. Thank you.
Yeah, this is your man Luando and Musa Ngwenya. Yeah, if you knew what Ngwenya means, you will like this guy forever. He's crazy. He's crazy, and yet he has this radical, you know, surname. Yeah, he's Musa Ngwenya. We're from South Africa, in Johannesburg. That's where you found us. I mean, if you go to a small street in the city in Johannesburg, you will see Musa and Luando there. I mean, if you even go to Cape Town, you will still see us, you know, you will still hear us. Even when you go beyond the borders, you will still, you know, hear us. It's great to have you here. Thank you for tuning into our show, and we believe that you're gonna be blessed. You're gonna get something out of this. Something greater is gonna take place. You know, one of the stories in the Bible that I love, it's when the disciples in the church, they were praying for the other disciples, and it was a very, very hard moment for the church at that specific time, because James, one of Jesus' disciples, was actually being martyred. He was assassinated, you know, by the governors of that time. And so now Peter found himself in prison, and the Bible actually speaks about the church praying so much that their prayers were heard in heaven. There was so much prayer, and you know, because of that so much prayer, God had to do something. There was a move that had to take place. And next thing, these people, they're still praying, not knowing what they're praying for, is just by the door. And it's the same thing to say, you know, we keep praying, we keep believing all these things, not knowing that, you know, what we're praying for, it's actually by the door. You know, God has answered. And the most important thing is that we need to believe. We need to believe that, you know, God does answer what prayers. It doesn't matter what is the situation. It doesn't matter how things, they look impossible. So to let you know, this is our show. This is my show, but not my show, with my man Musa and Luando. We are very excited. Yeah, here we speak about the word of God. We speak about, you know, things that matter, you know, encourage people in terms of their faith.
Yes, you can catch us on Facebook, Active FM, Twitter, Active FM, Instagram, Active FM 777, TikTok, Active FM, Spotify, Active FM. Yes, communicate with us, like our pictures, we like yours. Yes, follow us on the social media platforms. Thanks. So, I am the Bluesman, so I need to keep a smile on everyone's faces. So I'm gonna start off, before we get into the word and all that, I'm gonna start off with a joke. Who was the greatest financier in the Bible? I'm just giving you like a quiet time moment to like think about it, because this is huge. Yeah, this is huge. Okay, let me say the answer. The greatest financier in the Bible was Noah. He was floating his stock while everyone was in liquidation. Get it? Yeah, so let me get another joke for you. What did Adam say on the day before Christmas? Hey, it's Christmas Eve. Second last joke. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Basically, he wrote Hebrews, so he brews it. Hebrew. I'm sure you get it. So, last joke. How do we know Peter was a great fisherman? By his net income. So, let me explain that a bit further. Peter was a fisherman, a rich one, because when Jesus stepped on his boat and he took down the net, net income, the net came back full, that it started tearing. So his net income was tremendous. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed the jokes, and I hope I put a smile on your face. Enjoy the rest of the show. Something strange in the tragedy. Yo, I actually said that properly. Tragedy. Yeah. Now forgive me, but I battled to say that a couple of times when I was recording this. What you need to look at in something strange of the tragedy is, like, it's actually spoken out, something strange in the tragedy. Something strange. Is the strange a good thing or a bad thing? If it's a tragedy and it's strange, that must be an opposite, so it's probably a good thing. Not a lot of people expect to basically see something good when something bad is happening, because they're more focused on the bad thing. There was a Instagram post a while ago that was talking basically about dreams. So when people go through like tough times, and that's just rough times, or people are struggling, normally they tend to forget all the good things and complain about all the bad things, you know. Which is not like an attitude we should have, because that's basically how people get depressed, because they're too focused on things that are bad than the good out of it. For example, I don't know if you know castor oil. Yeah, castor oil is an oil that basically cleans your tummy. And yes, the taste of that thing is wow. It's, I used to fight, you know, drinking that thing to clean my tummy when I was younger. So I put the comparison. If you look at castor oil and I put a sweet on the table, a young child will probably pick the sweet than the castor oil. But now, because that's the outside, that's what the kid is focused on. When the kid drinks the castor, the kid is focused on, this thing is bad, this what. But they don't know behind that castor oil is that that castor oil actually cleans you. It helps you in terms of your tummy. Whatever bad thing is in your tummy, it cleans you. But we're not focused. The child is not focused on the castor oil cleaning you. The child is more focused on that the castor oil, well, it's disgusting. It's nasty. It's like oil in my mouth when I burp that, you know. That's what the child or us are focused on as human beings. So if a child thinks that way, it means that's how we are. We automatically think about the negative stuff of a situation when going through it. For example, if you don't have enough money to buy, let's say, your favorite clothing. I don't have enough money to buy my favorite brand clothing is a Prada. I don't have enough money to buy a Prada. We normally put our focus on we don't have enough to buy that. But what we should actually put our focus on is that I am wearing clothes already. So even though you don't have money for that certain Prada brand or the Prada clothing, even though you don't have enough money for that, why is it we focused on we don't have money as if we're not wearing any clothing? So now relating this to the crucifixion. So Jesus basically died on the cross, and the devil thought it was the best thing ever because he thought he was actually winning. Little did he know that there was something strange in the tragedy of Jesus dying. The something strange of that tragedy is that Jesus knew he was going to die, and Jesus had purpose of why he's going to die. Jesus basically died so that every single human being will be forgiven of their sins. So Jesus took upon our sins so that we clean towards the Father. But Satan didn't know that at the time. He thought killing Jesus was an easy way out, you know. He thought he's gonna win. Taking Jesus to hell, he's winning. Little did he know. So now we know that story. That's a very famous story. It's not just a story, but that's what most people see it as. Everyone knows that. But now relating that to your life is the same way the kid wanted the sweet more than the castor, because the sweet looked pleasing, but behind that sweet is something. I mean, your tooth will get rotten, a lot of things will happen, but not the child doesn't see that. The child just thinks of the sweet things of it. Basically, what I'm trying to say is chasing good things of life doesn't always and will not always bring you satisfaction. Chasing the good things, what we need to chase on is God, because once we have God, we have everything we need. So what the cost was, it wasn't a pleasing, it's not pleasing to drink that thing. It's not something nice to drink it. Yet it helps you. Jesus didn't want to die on the cross. Yet it helped us. Do you see where I'm getting? Yeah, it's we shouldn't be focused on what we don't have, but what we have. We should be counting our blessings rather than counting the things we don't have. For example, if you look at a child gets a toy. The child loves the toy a lot. Loves the toy, adores the toy, plays with the toy all the time. If it's a teddy bear, probably sleeps with the teddy bear. If it's a doll and the child is a girl, probably dresses the girl to look pretty. But as soon as that child's friend gets another, like a toy, like, a, you know, another doll or something, the latest doll, immediately that child forgets about what doll she has or he has and wants what the friend has. Why is that? Because us as humans, we don't appreciate what we have. And it's very important to appreciate what we have already, because if we're faithful with the small, God says you'll be faithful with the big. But if you're not faithful with the small, how would you be trusted with the big things? You understand? So basically, we need to count our blessings and name them one by one in prayers. We need to pray and say thank you. Start the prayer with thank you, Jesus, for I woke up this morning. Thank you that I'm wearing clothes. Thank you that there's food, even though it's not McDonald's or anything, it's food because I'm surviving. You know, we need to look at life in a different perspective, because there is something strange in the tragedy. So whatever you're going through, I don't know what it is. You probably know what it is because you're going through it, but yeah, whatever it is you're going through, I challenge you to look at it in a positive way, not the situation. Look for something that's good. For example, me and my friend, well, me and Luando, yeah, my friend, me and Luando, we had like a kind of, it's not a crisis, but we did something wrong. Well, I did something wrong because we worked together. I did something wrong and it like stuffed up everything. It messed up everything big time, man. And just a simple thing messed up everything. And us knowing that, well, they told me that I had to add something and all of that. But what I saw from Lando is that he didn't, and they told, before I get there, they told us to restart the project. But when I looked at Luando, I was like, what? I need to upload, I need to do this, I need to do that. Yes, it sounds like a lot of work, and it's two projects, not even one. Then I looked at Luando, well, when Luando called me to say, yeah, we need to redo it, the mindset I saw from Luando that I saw that I have to change is that Luando didn't, he didn't say, oh, you need to re-upload, it's a lot of work and all of that. The first thing he said is like, yeah, we have to redo the project, but at least we've learned. Do you see what I'm getting? You don't look at it in a negative place. And I was looking at it, oh, I need to upload again. It's a long process and all of that. I was looking at it in that way. On the other hand, Luando was looking at it in a way of like, you know what, we've learned something. We know what to do when the problem comes. We know where to look if there's a problem. He looked at it that way. So in life, it's important to look at it that way. Because after he told me that, I didn't complain anymore. I'm like, yeah, actually, I did learn something new here. So it's very important that we don't look at the negatives of life, because looking at the negatives of life is not beneficial. Same like that sweet looks nice. It's nice to complain. I mean, it's easy. It's the easy way out. Just complaining about stuff, complaining. The sweet is easy to just eat and not pull a face because it's not disgusting. But is it good for you? That's the question. So I'm ending off, and I'm gonna end off with one question to you. As we are doing the thing called life, as we're living through it, what are you going to pick? Are you gonna start seeing good in your hard situations? Are you gonna start seeing something strange in the tragedy? Or are you gonna carry on complaining like everyone else is complaining? Complaining isn't beneficial, because you'll complain all you want, the situation doesn't change. In fact, you feel even more down because now you keep on saying, oh, this is bad. Ah, this is bad. Ah, I don't know what to do. Ah, this is bad. Now you feel more bad because the only thing you're saying is bad, bad, bad the whole time. So you'll feel more bad. Or are you going to be different and rather look at something good? For example, you mess up at work and like, oh, at least now I learned something. Are you going to look at it that way? Because now that you've learned, you don't feel bad anymore. You feel like, yo, I've learned something new today. I'll make sure I do this for my next assignments or something, you know. And that's very important. And I'm gonna give the rest of the show to Luando. Hope this touched your heart. And please look at the good in every bad situation. You don't have food, well, you ate yesterday. You don't have money to buy clothes. Well, you're wearing clothes right now. You understand? You can't go outside. Well, you can praise God inside the house. So look at it in a different perspective. I hope this touched you. Thank you.
Something that was amazing is when we came with this topic that we're talking about. You know, it's gonna make more sense. It doesn't make sense. You know, it makes you think to say, no, something is strange in my tragedy. That's for me, that draws my attention. Something is strange in my tragedy. Something is strange in my tragedy. No, you know, I'm in a lockdown here. I found myself, you know, everything seems to be falling apart. You know, maybe someone somewhere, cute little one, broke your heart somehow. You know, whatever it is, but there is just something that is strange in my tragedy. You know, there is something that is strange within this thing that wants to make me give up. So that's what we're talking about. Something is strange in my tragedy. And to cut it very short, so I'm looking at a book of Luke. I think this is the book that I love when it comes to the four gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, especially how, you know, they describe the cross, how Jesus' crucifixion. And I feel like, you know, other books, they don't really give you that much. I mean, they don't give you any, you know, description about Jesus being strengthened by the angel when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. But you find it here in the book of Luke. This guy was very, very creative, the author of this book, Luke himself. So I'm looking at Luke chapter 23 and verse 32. Now it says, two other criminals were led out to be executed with him at a place called the Skull. There, all three were crucified, Jesus on the center cross and the two criminals in either side. So what are we looking at? The fact that Jesus was crucified. And Jesus, I can say, they actually skinned Jesus, if I can say that, because how Jesus was whipped, it was not just a whipping, you know, when someone take this, you know, they just cut the stick off from the tree and then they start whipping you. That's how they used to do it long time, you know. And I think some places they still do it. No, this was different. This whipping was actually something that was different, where they actually used, it was a lead metal. And this thing, you will actually whip someone and you will rip off the flesh. So it's same as, you know, skinning someone, you peeling someone's skin. And that's how much Jesus Christ had actually went through for us. I mean, being crucified, your hands nailed to the cross, your feet nailed to the cross. And what is my point? My point is Jesus died in pain. Jesus walked in pain, because even before he had to get to the cross, before he had to be crucified and then died, but Jesus, for a moment, for certain hours, in fact, for 12 hours, more than 12 hours. In fact, for a day, you know, for a night, Jesus was in chains already. He was beaten. His face, you know, was actually disfigured because his beard was pulled off, which means, and when he was there, Jesus was rejected. He had no one. No one could save him. People hated him, the governors and all that. I mean, he was in chains. What does that mean? That means there's no kind of pain or tragedy that Jesus didn't find himself in. What is my point? My point is Jesus walked through pain, not just for a small moment. No, he actually had to, the night had to go, you know, and fulfill itself while Jesus was in pain. In the morning, the hour, stuff like that, but Jesus was in pain. So Jesus walked in pain, he lived in pain, he stayed in pain, you know, before he died in pain. You see what I'm saying? But what, again, is my point? My point is, there is something that is strange in my head, in my brokenness, in my rejection, in my doubts, in my failures, you know, in my mistakes. Why? Because someone died there. Someone stayed there so that I can find him even in pain. And when Jesus walked in pain, remember, he was punished. Remember, Jesus was whipped, crowns of thorns put on him. But you know what? Jesus didn't fight back. Do you understand what I'm saying? But Jesus actually was punished for my sins. What does that mean? That means Jesus, while he was in pain, he was loving me. What does that mean? That means even in pain, even in hell, even in things when they don't make sense, confusion, but they still love. In my confusion, there's something that is strange. Why? Because even in confusion, there's still love. Jesus died in pain. He existed in pain so that when I am in my pain, when I am in my struggle, guess what? I can find him in my tragedy. And that's how it is. That's how it is. And if you look at verse 46 of the same chapter, it says, then Jesus shouted, Father, I commit my spirit to you. And with those words, he died. And Jesus, we know, he died in pain, in all that, so that it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter. And you know, most of the time, like especially church, we have been speaking about David and Goliath. But you know, the biggest thing I've realized that, you know, sometimes you can feel worthless because you don't feel like you can go out there and you defeat the Goliath that the world is facing. But I want to tell you, there is an internal Goliath that is fighting you in your heart. The fear that you can have as a person, the fear that, you know, life can never be the way I expected life can be. Maybe life can be better than you expected life can be if you allow God to do something that is greater. And I can imagine, you know, when all this shutdown thing, you know, it's done, and people will go out to search for their lives, the lives that they used to have. You know what I'm saying? And many will be disappointed because they won't be able to get the same life. You know, there will be, life will be carrying these bad memories and things not coming together. But I want to tell you something. When Mary went to look for Jesus, this is amazing. This is amazing. When Mary went to look for Jesus, she went to the grave. And guess what? She went to the grave looking for Jesus. Jesus who was dead. So yesterday she left. Yesterday in the morning Jesus was buried. So she knows that, you know, the Jesus I'm looking for is the Jesus that I know from yesterday who was dead. So I'm going to the grave to look for Jesus. You see what I'm saying? And that's how people will be like, you know, I'm going back to look for my life, to work for my life and do that and do that. But now what happened was that when she got to the grave, everything became worse for her because now she couldn't find the Jesus that she knew she had yesterday. And every part of her life, if I can say that, became worse. But the good thing is that even though everything became worse, she just got a Jesus who was alive instead of the Jesus who was dead. So God gave us something that was even bigger. And that's my point, is that, you know, when we depend on God, when we do life and we expect to have this normal life and how life used to be, but when we give everything to God, guess what happens? God will give you, yes, you may not see this life that we're expecting, but guess what? When you depend on God, God will surprise you with something that you never even thought of. Will surprise you with this big life. And that's the most important thing, incredible thing. So now, one last thing that I'm going to talk about is when Jesus was on the cross. And I've heard many people, obviously growing, you know, in Christianity, and you learn, and people will say, you know, Jesus thought of you when you were on the cross. And like, wow, you know, that's cool. But guess what? Jesus never thought of you when he was on the cross. He never thought of me when he was on the cross. You see what I'm saying? The Bible says one sacrifice for all sins, forever, for all. What does that mean? Jesus is eternal. He is God. What does that mean when something is eternal? When someone is God, that means God is present to all things. So when Jesus was on the cross, everything was present to him. You were there. Your tragedy was there. You know, your mess, your mistakes, your sin, things you do in secret, they were all presented before the cross, to a point that you were so there that Jesus became me and you as sinners. Jesus became a sinner. He became us. So Jesus Christ couldn't have now had to think of us in order to become us. No, we were there. You see what I'm saying? And what am I saying is that since everything was presented to Jesus, let me give you this. So you had Jesus, and this, and then you had the wood, which is the cross, and then you had the earth, the ground that we walk on. And what they did, they took Jesus, they made Jesus one with the cross. You see what I'm saying? And when they made Jesus one with the cross, now they connected the cross with the ground, the earth. What does that mean? That means Jesus became now one with the earth, and when Jesus was on the cross, he became conscious of everything that is earth, of all the animals, the fish in the sea, everything. At the same time, remember, Jesus was also connected with what, with the heavens, because he was way on top. He was hanging there. He was connected with all the oxygen, the wind, and all that. So he was also conscious of the birds and all that. But at the same time, Jesus is God, which means he was also conscious of the past. He was also conscious of what, of the future. He was conscious of you today. You were presented. You see what I'm saying? Even you that you don't know tomorrow, Christ knows, because you were presented to him. You see what I'm saying? And what happens is that even tomorrow, this is powerful, even tomorrow, there's a new outcome, there's a new destiny that's being presented to you, because Jesus died for you. If Jesus didn't die for you, you would go to the tomorrow. But even tomorrow, you will always have one option that you're living for. That's hell. But when Jesus died for you, even tomorrow, he offered you another destiny. That's heaven. You see what I'm saying? Why? Because everything was conscious to Jesus. And that's the thing to say. Even the pain, he knows. He knows it was presented to him. And that's the thing to say, you know, there is something that is strange in my tragedy. And what is that thing? Who is that thing? And that's actually Jesus. There is love in your pain that's given. There is joy in your pain that's given. That there is peace in your pain that's given through who? Jesus. And that's the most important thing. So if you want to accept Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, you can pray this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you out there for this great show and supporting us. And please make sure you don't forget to visit our website, www.activefm.co.za, our Facebook page, /@activefm777, our Instagram page @activefm777, and also our Twitter @activefm. God bless you. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, are you ready?
stream Reactive's very own The Movement album on Spotify and Apple iTunes. Reactive, it's a movement.